What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and today's episode, we're actually going to be talking about not only a win, but two wins in a row for this Washington Wizards team. A team that just came off a pretty impressive win over a Portland Trail Blazers team that's played a little bit better as of late. And then they turn around the next 2 nights later, and on John Wall Appreciation Night, defeat a Milwaukee team that's reeling. I think they've lost four straight now, seven of their last eight. Obviously, Giannis is out and is probably going to get traded at some point now or in the offseason. They have other injuries like Kevin Porter Jr. So this isn't, as impressive as it was when the Wizards beat the Bucks two of the first three times this year when they had Giannis and for some of those games when they had KPJ. But it's still a good win nonetheless. Myles Turner played really well. Ryan Rollins, a former Wizard, had a pretty solid game before he got hurt. But the Wizards played really well. And again, down the stretch, another close game. They had lost four in a row, four pretty close games in a row before that win against Portland. Like I mentioned, showed an ability to close that one out. And then tonight, a 109 to 99 win for the Wizards. A really good defensive performance as well. You had 28 stocks for the Wizards in their win on Tuesday against Portland. Turnaround tonight, I think it was the lowest scoring first half by a total of 4 points. They only allowed 43 in the first half. To Milwaukee, which was pretty impressive. Headlined by, of course, Bilal Coulibaly and Jahmyr Watkins, who had pretty good defensive showing. Sarr, another multi-block game and a steal in there as well. George too. And late in that game, it got tough. The Bucks were sort of clawing back the entire fourth quarter. I think cut it to 399 to 96, and it was a very tight game. Maybe at one point a 2 point game. I think at 101-99. And then Sarr makes a pretty big bucket. Bob Carrington, who makes a pair of a pretty big free throws. Keyshawn George, yet again, was pretty solid down the stretch. And the Wizards, again, won a game that realistically, a couple of days ago, you would have said they'd probably lose. But they're finding ways to win. They're doing it behind their young core. And it was really nice to see. You got to start with John Wall because he was back in D.C. As a member of the Prime Video team, got honored. It was John Wall celebration night. Now, I think me and pretty much everyone included, and I'm not going to say I speak for everyone because I know some fans are not in agreement with me or other fans on this. I mean, I think it's only a matter of time that John Wall gets his jersey retired, for the Wizards. I think top four or top three or four in terms of all-time points. I think he's number one in assists, number one in steals. For a guard, he's certainly number one in block shots. He took the Wizards as far as they've gone, and I understand the success beacon is not going to be, it's probably a factor in most people who think he shouldn't get it retired is what did he ever do here? He never made it past the second round, obviously never won a title. But the bar is just low. This team has won one title in 50 plus years of existence, and that came 50, how many years ago? 22, and it was in 1978. Nearly 50 years ago was their only title. And so for a team like this, you're going to honor players that take the team as far as they've gone, but are also beacons not only on the court, but in the community as well. John was clearly the best player the Wizards have had, I think, in the century. You could argue Gilbert, but I still think John's better. He brought this team from, one of the worst seasons they've ever had before they drafted him to nearly making the conference final, a place they haven't reached since 1979. So to me, he should have his jersey retired, but I'm glad he was able to at least get his flowers. The Wiz did put on a pretty good ceremony at halftime. John said, "This is still my home. This is my city." So always, nice to see that he still embraced the fans. Clearly gave him a warm ovation and welcome. John still loves the team, and I think it's only right that at some point in the near future they honor him by retiring that number two. Nobody's worn it since he, got traded. And obviously since he retired, but there's been multiple people, obviously CJ and now Trae Young, that have worn Beal's number three, and that's another topic of discussion. Less people think Beal should get his jersey retired, but nonetheless, it was really nice to see John return. I enjoyed him on the broadcast. Just always nice to see him back in Capital One Arena, for Wizards game. So that was cool to see for John. Glad he got his flowers. The second thing on my list is I have a little bit of a gripe to pick with the Amazon broadcast. The Wizards fans were booing Kyle Kuzma. Kevin Harlan, I think four or five times, said throughout the broadcast that it's not boos, it's Kuz chance for Kuzma, which Wizards fans used to say that when Kuz would get the ball or was he about to, take a three or was introduced in the starting lineup. That's not the case. Wizards fans have soured on him. They did towards the end of his tenure when, if you remember after that Phoenix game, He sort of, kind of expressed his disgust at the Wizards not really doing everything to win basketball games. When at that point he had already signed an extension here in Washington, knowing for the next 2 to 3 years, winning it would not be a priority. And then obviously, soon after gets dealt to Milwaukee. But then he also made some comments, and I had a couple messages asking me because the boos were bad, were bad. Like, they were loud. It was the loudest I've heard Wizards fans all year. I think a lot of it has to do with the Amazon broadcast and the crowd mics they had. They were really loud. But from people that were in the arena, my friend Ben Strober mentioned it too. It was loud boos for Kuz every time he touched the ball, and you could tell because you could tell it was boos because every time he missed a shot, they cheered, and it was the loudest you've heard them cheer Wizards fans that being in a while. So there's clearly still some bad blood between at least on the Wizards fans end of that. But I had some DMs asking me, Greg, why are they booing Kuzma? People thought he ended on a pretty good terms here. I'm going to read this quote that Kuz said, I think, pretty shortly after the trade, after he played a game or two in Milwaukee. He said, quote, "To play in front of this fan base was sick. In my last couple years, my home games with the Wizards were road games in a sense. So being able to just to be around and play with the electricity really felt good tonight and was really fun," end quote. It's similar to the Jordan Poole stuff, and Poole had pretty loud boos whenever he touched the ball in Washington. It's an unnecessary comment, and obviously you're not trying to win games. Like, do you really expect a fan base to pay good money and navigate through DC just so that they can watch your team win with Kuzma 15 games in that year? And then obviously, Kuz was frustrated at that. I guess I get it from a player's perspective, but it didn't need to be said, and he said it. And so I think those two things were sort of the reasons why, but I mean, they booed him. They booed him pretty loud. It wasn't LeBron-esque, like when he returned to Cleveland or anything of that imagination, but it sounded like the return game for a guy who, left the team on bad terms in free agency. And, you saw with like Paul George going back to Indiana, like those games are bigger and the boos are louder, but it was like every time he touched the ball, even in the fourth quarter, close game, the Wizards fans still booed him. I thought it was funny. That was funny to see with Kuz. He actually had a decent game. And again, without Giannis, he kind of had to. I think he finished with 19, 8 of 18 from the field, and 9 and 6. So not the worst showing for Kuzma by any stretch of the imagination. Obviously, I still think if the Bucks could take that trade back, they'd take AJ Johnson, Middleton, and that pick swap probably, because it clearly hasn't worked out too well for them. They're pretty much done this year. Apart from that, again, I kind of started with a bunch of non-actual Wizards-related stuff from the court in terms of Kuz and John. To talk about the actual game, I mentioned defense at the beginning. Whenever this Wizards team allows less than 100 points, I feel like you got to give them their shine, because they in the beginning of the season, the first couple games when they were 1-15, they were giving up 130 points like it was nothing. Even when they were 3-20, 125 plus points allowed like it was nothing. They were in the bottom of the league in terms of points allowed per game, in terms of defensive efficiency, defensive rating, like every bad stat you can imagine for a team defensively, they were dead last in the league in. And so obviously that wasn't good. But the last two games, like I mentioned, against Portland, 28 stocks. Which I believe was certainly a team high for the season. And then you add tonight, holding Milwaukee, who had entered this game shooting 46% from three in the three games against Washington this year. The Wizards held them to 26% on 10 to 38 from three. So that was one of my keys to the game, was perimeter defense. I like the closeouts that the Wizards had, and for the most part were able to shut down their shooters. I mean, a guy like AJ Green, pure sharp, kills the Wizards all the time. 1 of 6, 0 of 4 from 3, just 2 points. And that kind of showcases that, the Wizards had a good game plan to take away their shooters, and they did just that. 109 is not the greatest offensive output for a Wizards team that averages more points per game than that. But nonetheless, still enjoyed that defense. It was headlined by Jameer, who I don't know who he pickpocketed at half court. It might have been Kuz, it might have been Rollins, but picked him clean. I thought he got fouled, didn't, and then I think it was Branham maybe that followed up with a layup. But again, another good defensive showing for Jameer. Got active on the glass too. Again, Wizards were without Vucevic and Bagley needed some help down there. And obviously you got that from a guy like Champagne, right? 6 rebounds. But Jameer with 9, some pretty big boards, was a plus 7, finished with a steal and a block. Only 4 points, but like Bilal with 5 last game. You know, his impact is really just showcased, not in the box score, but when you're watching the game and specifically on that defensive end. And sticking on defense, you add Bilal Coulibaly, who again continues to stuff the stat sheet, continues to take on the hardest assignment on the opposing team. Guarded Kuzma at times, guarded Ryan Rollins sometimes, and both got theirs at some points, but Bilal made it really tough for them. Finished with 8 points on 3 of 6 from the field. Again, he's not shooting the ball a lot, and I'd like him to shoot more, but he's being efficient. Last game, 1 of 2. Tonight, 3 of 6. He's not forcing it. Only one three-pointer in each of the last 2 games. But he clearly, is showing initiative in other ways in terms of just, being active on the defensive end, but on the glass too. 10 boards. It's the same thing I talked about with Watkins. It's like, you have a bunch of scorers. You have George, who had 23 tonight. Sarred, 16. Trey Johnson got hurt. We'll talk about that in a second, but he was scoring. You have production off the bench from Bub, from Champagne, Middleton at 13. Like, you have your scores, right? But you need some guys that don't really care how many points they score. They just know, I'm going to put my head down. I'm going to be really good on defense. I'm going to grab some boards and hopefully on a good night, make defenses pay if they leave me open from beyond the arc to space the floor. And it's pretty clear that Jameer and Bilal certainly have that. Like I mentioned, Jameer +7 with 9 boards, Bilal 10 boards, 8 points, and was a team high +14. Another game, another example of when these two guys are on the court, they're in the positives. The team plays better with them, and I think it starts on the defensive end. And it's cool to see them buying into that identity because teams need that. The Thunder have Lu Dort. Obviously the Rockets have Amen Thompson. You got Castle over there in San Antonio. Obviously the Pistons have some really good point of the attack defenders in Ausar, and Duren. These top teams have these guys that they can pretty much rely on a nightly basis that they're going to be able to do, not only take away maybe the opposing team's best player, but at least make them work for it. It's something the Wizards had lacked really when they had John and Brad in those teams. That was, they needed a defensive stopper. I remember they traded for Trevor Ariza to sort of be that 3-and-D guy. We all know how that worked out. And so it's nice to see them sort of taking initiative. It's nice to see their draft picks that were taken for these reasons. Obviously, you hope Bilal blossoms more offensively. Same with Jameer. But the defense is there, and it seems like it's a skill that won't really go away, especially if they buy into it. So really enjoyed their effort. I can't believe it took me this long to get to Keyshawn George because just his ability to navigate the defense, to get to that mid-range. He had 10 field goals tonight. I think maybe half of them at least were in the mid-range. At least two were just strong takes through contact when he had Rollins or a small that was guarding him. There was a point where AJ Green checked him and Key was like, are you serious? Like, Doc Rivers is going to put this guy on me right through his chest. Easy layup, probably got fouled too. I mean, he did it late in the game, when they needed a bucket with Milwaukee coming back. Just his ability to navigate the floor and score was pretty noticeable tonight. And then you factor in 5 boards, 5 assists. He's averaging 15, 5, and 5. And then it's just the 5 boards, 5 assists. That's a pretty constant thing. And I keep going back to this. If you listen to the pod, I keep harping on this with Key. It's yes, he's going to have the points, the rebounds, the assists. He had 2 steals and a block tonight. Not a shock. But you got to ask yourself, did he foul a lot? No. 36 minutes, which was a team high, only one foul. Did he turn the ball over? No, he had 5 assists and only one turnover. And it's these things that you're seeing. And this is now back-to-back games where Key is scoring. He had 19 last game, 23 tonight. Getting 5+ boards, 5+ rebounds, a bunch of stocks. But he's also limiting those turnovers, limiting those fouls. And it's a reason that he was able to close this game and play so much in the second half. He's so vital, and valuable for this team. And when they're closing games, they need him to be not be in foul trouble and need him to take care of the ball if he's going to have that role as a primary ball handler. And he's done really good the last 2 games. I think it's realistically the reason they've won because in the last couple, it was, yeah, George has the ball in his hands. He's missing open shots. He's turning it over. He's fouling too much. The last 2 games, it's not a coincidence, I think, that the Wizards have won. And as a result of George's good play down the stretch where he's smart, taking care of the ball, he's finding his teammates, he's getting to the bucket and getting his own while also being available, right? And so I really enjoyed watching him get to his spots. Just sort of, growing as a player and maturing. And that's something you always like to see, obviously, in this league from your young core. To sort of round out the starting five, we'll get to Trey Johnson in a bit. Alex Saar, I mean, John Wall mentioned it like in the beginning of the broadcast that Saar is great, but he only has 4 double-doubles, or at least had 4 entering tonight's game. For a 7-footer, you'd like to see better production on the glass. And, realistically, that was the real gripe for Saar last year, but this year he sort of gotten the field goal and 3-point percentages up, scored more around the rim and developed the post game. He's been able to limit the threes that he takes. He's awesome on defense. The one thing for Sarr, the one, blunder has been his rebounding or lack thereof. Wasn't aggressive enough on the glass in some games, and I thought tonight was clearly his best rebounding game. Had a career high 17 boards to go along with 16 points. Shot 11 of 29 from the field last game. A much more efficient and controlled 6 for 13 tonight. Again, 7 of those were offensive rebounds, which is nice to see. He was active on the glass when Turner wasn't on the floor. It was Pete Nance that was sort of checking him, so it was nice to see Alex be able to take advantage of that matchup. He had one where, and I noted this in specific. I was either it was one of their smalls. It was Anthony. It was Rollins, or I believe it was AJ Green. And Sarr sort of had him in the post on for a good entry feed. And in the past, he would have faded away, but he took it right into his chest. Off the glass for the layup. And for a center, that should be commonplace. But Sarr had been fading. At least in the beginning of the career, and sometimes throughout this season. So that was nice to see him take it up strong with the mismatch. But again, he was great. Offensively, really sound, great on the glass. The Wizards didn't have their two backup bigs, and Tristan, who's still out, and Bagley as well. And so you needed others to step up, but you needed a big boards game for Sarr, and he provided that. Another three stock game for Alex. That's now, I think, he had two blocks, one steal tonight. So that's a total of 11 stocks, 8 blocks, 3 steals for him over the last 2 games, which is insane, averaging 5.5 stocks per game over any 2-game stretch, let alone for a 20-year-old in his second year that's leading the league in blocks. He stepped out and made a three, only took 3 of them, which was nice. Got a lot of praise, right? Got a lot of praise in the pregame from Udonis Haslem, from John throughout the broadcast. He's been so consistent for Washington this season. And so it was nice to see, like, the one blip on his impressive resume was the lack of rebounding. Really took initiative tonight, and you can see when he does that, he has a career high. He has 17 boards. So really enjoyed that aspect of Sarr's game. We mentioned Jameer and Bilal on the defensive end. I want to get to Trey Johnson because he had a couple of pretty bright moments. Specifically, he had a nice mid-range and one over Rollins, but. And again, not a malicious or dangerous play by any means by Rollins, but a reckless closeout was ruled a flagrant one. And Trey landed, I think his left foot landed on Rollins' foot, twisted that ankle, was down in pain for a second, tried to walk it off, came back in the game, made the free throws, but was taken out shortly after. In the, towards the end of the first half, didn't return. Wizard said he had an ankle sprain. Again, like, he's been playing so well. He started probably the last 10 to 15 games for the Wizards, especially at a bigger role since the McCollum trade. And I mean, this team is very cautious, as we know, with their injuries, especially with their prized young players. So sucks to see. I don't know if Trey Johnson will miss a game or two because of this. He returned, and you look, honestly, I thought he was going to continue to play. He ended up being held out, probably just precautionary reasons. So we'll get an update on that. The Wizards do play the Lakers tomorrow night in Capital One Arena. Again, I wouldn't be surprised if Trey Johnson is out with that ankle sprain, maybe returns after, but it's a tough turnaround to play a back-to-back, especially after he missed the second half tonight. So hopefully he's all good with that. Justin Champagne, another solid game off the bench, 6 boards, 12 points, was a plus 9. I don't really have to say too much. Kept possessions alive, really defended well, I thought, and sort of was that score off the bench along with Bob, who had 13. Off the bench, 6 and 4 as well. The bench struggled a bit. They went small. Like I mentioned, without the two backup bigs and Bags and Vucevic, I think the lineup, I wrote it down, was Bub, Branham, Watkins, Riley, and Champagny. And I think it was like an 8-0 run in 5 seconds for the Bucks, whenever that entered. I think it was in the beginning of the second quarter or at the end of the first. They pulled it back, and I thought the bench actually contributed quite well at certain points in the second half. But Keith pulled all the buttons, and then I can't blame him, right? He went small. I thought maybe they'd give Scalabissier a look. He's 6'10", signed through a 2-day contract, gave him some minutes on Tuesday. You didn't see him or Gil. They went small, and at some points Keyshawn George was the center. At some points you had Jameer Watkins playing the five. It was a by committee, and sometimes that's what you got to do when you have a bunch of injuries, especially to a specific position group. But I honestly thought it worked out decently well for Washington. Thought they were able to run more, obviously, with more guards and wings and quicker players. And it worked to their advantage at some points to get in transition and play fast, which I think suits them a lot more than it does Milwaukee. So again, another solid win. That's now two in a row for Washington. I think two winnable games, certainly the latter more winnable than that. But you got the Wizards now at 12 and 34. And I know some people are concerned. It's the same thing that happened when they won a couple games a couple of weeks ago. But we can obviously update the tank standings. The Pacers won last night, so it sort of, counters itself out between them and the Wizards. Washington now has 12 wins, and it's really tight. There's five teams now at the bottom with 12 wins, and then sort of a barrier between those teams and Utah, who's got 15, Milwaukee and Memphis, who have 18. So it's a five-horse race, and yes, that's very concerning for Washington. I think since the start of the season, this is probably the closest they've been, just a half game out of being, inside the top four. If Brooklyn loses another game, if Washington wins their next game tomorrow against the Lakers, I doubt they will. They're outside that bottom four, and they no longer, if the season ended, would really guarantee they keep their pick. And yes, that's scary, but again, there's been 46 games played. If I do my math correct, that means 36 left. Like there's a long road. And so I'm not too concerned. But again, if you are one of those people who expressed concerns earlier, I think you're probably going to be also concerned at the moment, that the Wizards are pretty close to being outside the bottom four where they need to be to guarantee their pick. But that's probably going to do it for this episode of the Wizards podcast. Had to get it out. I'm not feeling too well today. Hopefully I'm feeling better tomorrow to get a recap on this one. But if there's ever a chance to do a podcast episode at 10 p.m. Between after a game between two teams that are combined, I believe 30 and like 62. If you're me, you got to crank one out. So I don't really know how Jordan played basketball, let alone an important playoff game. When he was pretty sick, because this podcast tonight was a grind, but hopefully I'm feeling better tomorrow, and hopefully I can get an episode out for you after that Lakers game. A really good crowd for the Wizards. Wanted to leave you on that. Maybe it was just the broadcast mics, but a lot of people that were covering the game, Ben Strober from Locked On Wizards also mentioned, it was a really loud crowd. It was probably the first time since the start of the rebuild, I think, that I had heard "Let's go Wizards" chants, which again is pretty sad to say, but it's that's what John Wall does. Big crowd for him to honor, a player that's a legend for this franchise, deserves to have his jersey retired, and it was nice to see them celebrate that. But good crowd, heavy boos for Kuz, and the Wizards pulled this one out 109 to 99. That's gonna do it for this episode of the Wizards podcast. As always, thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow to recap that Lakers versus Wizards game. Have a good one. Go Wiz.